Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The Gospel of St. John, chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, miracle moment or miracle life. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" You may be seated. I'd like to read the whole story to you, but it's rather lengthy. But it's an amazing story. It's a story about a miracle that changed a man's life. You know, and somebody said, and I've mentioned this three times now, somebody said, "You know something I don't know." You know, miracles are amazing. I've known thousands of people that have astounding miracles in your life. But as astounding as a miracle is, if you have a miracle and then that miracle ceases to exist in your life, you very quickly forget the benefit of it. And so we have lived not a miracle of the moment as a family. I've been around the Church of the Living God all of my life. And the Lord has sustained me with a daily diet of miracles. And that's scriptural. Jesus said, "Daily bread." The book of Acts said, "Daily." Daily is a key word. And so we've learned to sustain ourselves, not by one miracle in a lifetime, or even an occasional miracle, but a constant diet of miracles, that no matter what we are facing, every day the Lord comes to us and delivers us out of them all. We've had terrible reports in our family from things that were financial disasters. We've had cancer reports. We've had heart condition reports, one right after another. But through those all, God has brought us miraculously through. And we stand stronger today than we've ever stood, because we have found out that it's not just a miracle for a moment, but it is a miracle for your life. Every time you face something, God is there for you. And friend, I don't care who you are, where you came from, or what your background is, life can be tough. The Bible said it's a few days and full of trouble. And you need to learn the miracle and learn to know who the miracle maker is. And he needs to be a part of your life every day. Jesus had a tremendous plan for this man. This was not the usual case here, the way that Jesus usually worked. This story is an aberration of Jesus' usual miracle ministry. If you follow the miracles of Christ through the Gospels, you will find that usually a miracle was done when someone, either a family member, the person themselves, a close friend, appealed to Jesus, and then Jesus would come and perform a miracle. Not the case here. Apparently, Jesus was the initiator of both the conversation and the introduction to this man that had been laying there 38 years of the possibility of a miracle, and he introduced that with one probing question, and the question was, "Will thou be made whole?" That's Jesus' favorite question. It's a question that he asked everybody watching today. It's a question that he asked the preacher in the pulpit and everybody in the pews. Will you be made whole? And unfortunately, this guy was not exactly a spiritual scholar. Even though Jesus had a great plan for this man, it was not simply a momentary healing miracle, but it was a lifetime miracle. This is not to diminish the compassion that Christ had for the man in his suffering for 38 years at this pool. He was touched with his infirmity, particularly the length, the Bible said, of his suffering touched Christ. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there for a long time, 38 years. But Jesus departed from that usual pattern responding to someone's impassioned appeal to intervene with a miraculous interruption and introduce himself as the Son of God, the miracle worker. It was not only to stop the pain and cure the immediate problem. It was to introduce a principle. And Jesus did this numerous times in the Bible. He did miracles that were not only for the moment, but they were for lifetime principles. That if you could reach out and grasp that principle, it would not only heal you momentarily, but it would set you on a path for life where you could be an overcomer, where you could be victorious, where you could grasp what Jesus called abundant life, and you could live that way forever. It was true when Jesus Christ introduced himself to the woman at the well. That was not just about thirst. It was not just about a Dr. Pepper break. It wasn't just about relief from the Palestinian sun at that well. It was about a lifestyle that was going to deliver her from a terrible life that she was living, and she was going to embrace it. It was going to become a part of her life forever. I've heard many sermons about Jesus cursing the fig tree and people trying to explain why that was. And some people thought it was rude that Christ would curse a fig tree and it would die at its roots, even though it was not the seasonal time for it to produce fig trees. It was not a lesson in horticulture at all. It was actually a principle of faith. And Jesus was trying to show to his disciples that we are not contingent upon the seasonal things that happen in our life. But by faith, we have the ability to rise supernaturally above those things that come against us. And regardless of what season it is in our life, we can be victorious. And Paul would pass that principle along to Timothy when he said, be instant, in season and out of seasons. So when Jesus did a miracle, it was not always just for the momentary relief of the problem. Many times it was to embed in the mind of the believer and the follower a principle of which they could grasp that would not only change their life, but change everybody's life that they came in contact with. And so it was at this moment that Jesus' miraculous ambushment of this man at the pool of Bethesda was not solely or even primarily to get him out of bed and cause him to walk without a limp. This might have been the most immediate thing, but not the most important. Many miracles that Jesus does in your life are the catalyst for something that is greater to happen. And God has done many miracles in my life. And friend, I have not just taken them as an isolated incident, but I've let them build line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, until I believe in miracles. And no matter what's going on in our continent, praise God, I know that God is greater. This man failed the response. Jesus said, will thou be made whole? This man should have shouted from the very depth of his soul, I will be made whole. But he did not do that. What he did was, he said, well, let me explain something to you. When the water is troubled, I don't have anybody to put me in that water. So his answer number one was an accusatory excuse. He said, well, I can't get a miracle because nobody will help me. Second thing he said was, he embraced a superstitious, unfounded, non-scriptural folklore that has no foundation of truth and is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. But Jesus was so eager. He was both so compassionate, this man, and eager to implement a life-changing principle that he ignored the man's bad answer. He circumnavigated a weak answer to become a miracle that would echo through the ages that we're still talking about 2,000 years later. Here's a man that should have flunked. Here's a man that should have been held back for another year or kicked out of the class. Here's a man that just didn't have the ability to answer correctly. A man that should have been flunked, held back for another year, kicked out of the class. What did Jesus do? He declared him to be the star pupil. He graduated him with honors. He put him at the head of the class. Isn't that just like Jesus? Friend, I want to tell you that Jesus is not a captor of our weakness. But Jesus Christ excludes our weakness, supernavigates our bad answers, and said, I'm still going to do great things in your life. Isn't that just like Jesus? Instead of saying, you're out, He's made him the valedictorian. What a God we serve. Instead of saying, sit down and shut up, you're showing your ignorance. That's what used to happen to me when I was going to school. I didn't always have the right answer. Friend, I've not always had the right answer for God, but He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He has been my friend. He's been very patient with me. His mercy has been fresh every morning, and that's the reason why I still serve Him and love Him after all of these years, because He is imperfect. He is perfect, and I am imperfect, but we still have a perfect relationship. What a mighty God we have. Give the Lord praise here today. And so Jesus said in response to a terrible answer, rise, take up your bed, and walk. The biggest thing that has ever happened to you or will ever happen to you is about to happen to you in your life right now. There might be somebody watching me that is a victim of the virus, or you're suffering from a cancer or a problem. But if you can grasp what I'm telling you today, you could have the biggest miracle of your life today. And not only would it be momentary, but it would be until you see Jesus face to face. Jesus said, rise. That means change your attitude. Take up your bed. Change your posture. Change. You are no longer a paraplegic. You are something is going to happen to you. Walk. Prepare for action. No longer inactive. A person on an appointment with destiny. I believe there are people in this building right now that are on an appointment with destiny. That God has got something great for you. And this little sermon I'm bringing to you is just a little insert into your life to let your faith go and believe that God is not through with you. That God is not going to leave you where He found you. But praise God, it might have been a long time coming. 38 years in this man's incident. But God's got a miracle for you that is literally going to change your life forever. It appears we are at the end of the story, but we're not even near the end of the story. But it is where many Christians end their story. It's where many Christians make their mistake. But there is a fly in the ointment of the apothecary, as the Bible said. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And the problem is that the religious people are going to get involved. Let me bring you some bad news. When you come to Christ and you embrace Him and you get filled with His Spirit and your life goes through an evolution that is unimaginable, suddenly there's going to be somebody that is religious that's going to try to explain to you why God can't be that good and why God can't be that miraculous and why you're going to be linked to your past and you're simply not going to become what you dream to be. You've got to overcome that crowd. They're the fly in the ointment. They are the problem. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. Friend, you have broken the law. Friend, if you've laid there for 38 years and suddenly you're up walking and dancing around, do you really care about whether you've broken the law or not? Do you really care about what the religious people say when you've lived in hell and now you're in heaven? When you've been in pain and now you're pain-free? When you've been a paraplegic and now, praise God, you've got the activity of your limbs? Do you really care what religion has to say? So the interrogation by the religious people to the man that had been the paralyzed one begins. Who was it? Who was it that did this? And the man has a classic answer. This man was just not a good student. He didn't answer Jesus right the first time, and he still don't have an answer. To these religious people, the Bible simply said it this way, I wist not who it was. I don't know who that guy was. He was something, but I just don't know who he was. Remember, Jesus commanded him to walk. The question when you begin to walk is, what are you walking away from? And the second question is, what are you going to walk to? Your past, it's easy to say, I'm going to walk away from my past, but it's a lot harder to walk away from your past than it is to say you're going to. You have to walk away from a multitude of people when you get into the land of opportunity and embrace a miracle life. There's going to be a whole multitude of people you've got to leave behind. He had to leave behind a whole multitude of impotent people. And the truth is, Most of the people in your past have been impotent. They're unproductive. They've never added anything to your life. And friend, if you want what God's promised you, you've got to be able to say goodbye. As the old sermon said, you've got to say, give the pig a permanent wave. The prodigal has got to say, pigs, I'm not going to be here no more. Never see you again, pig pen. Friends, you're gone. Because now I've found a new life. I found a new way, and something good is about to happen. What are you walking to? You're walking to something that you have never known before. Apparently, the Bible is not complete in this story, in the record of its dialogue. In fact, the Bible says that it's not complete. Great things are left out because there's just not enough room. It said if everything was recorded, the world could not hold the books. And so there's a lot left in this dialogue that we don't know anything about. Suddenly, he is being accused, and the one that has brought him out of the bed is not there to answer the accusers. This man is there all alone. The Bible said Jesus had conveyed himself away and just left him there. But apparently, though, undocumented conversation had taken place because this man had a secret rendezvous with Jesus Christ. And the Bible said this, and Jesus afterward found him at the temple. Jesus had arranged an appointment for this man. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I don't care what kind of experience you've had with Jesus. If you don't meet with Jesus regularly at the church, you might have a miracle moment, but you'll never have a miracle lifestyle. Because it is God's plan for his people to gather together. He said, if just two or three gather together, I will be there. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Two things. There, before he met Jesus at church, even though he had a miracle at the pool, he could not properly identify him to the Jews. The number one theme of this church is to elaborate and tell you and instill in your spirit who Jesus is. It is a revelation. After he met Jesus at church, he had no difficulty declaring who he was. The Bible said the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. That was only after he met him at church. Jesus did not reveal himself at the pool. He only revealed himself at church. A miracle at the pool cannot compare with a revelation at the church. In order to have a miracle life, you must have a revelation of the identity of Jesus Christ. He is not the illegitimate son of Mary and Joseph. He's not just a baby in swaddling clothes only to be remembered at Christmas. He's not just a 12-year-old boy wonder confounding the scholars in the temple. He's not just the winemaker of Cana. He's not a proactive weatherman calming the storms. He's not just a Jewish rabbi. He's not just a profound teacher come from God. He's not only the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. But he's not only the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Some people have asked me, new in the Lord, when I pray in my prayer time, should I give 5 minutes to the Father and 5 minutes to the Son and 5 minutes to the Holy Ghost when I pray? The answer is a resounding no. Because Jesus Christ, the Bible declares that in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, have attentive ears to hear what you say. Jesus lays this mandate to the feet of the whole world when he said, I say unto you, therefore, that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Friend, you must know who Jesus is. It was not revealed to the man at the pool who Christ was. He had to rendezvous with him in church. And I want to tell you, if you want to have a miracle in a lifetime, you can get it anywhere. Somebody can pray with you at Walmart. Somebody can pray with you at school. Somebody can pray with you on your job. But if you want to have a miracle life, you will become a regular attendee of the house of God. You'll look forward like David. All that David did, killing giants and slaying lions. He said, the thing that thrilled my soul was they said, said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to live a life of miracles, not one time done and out, but every day of my life. Every obstacle I face, every enemy that I endure, I can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have learned what I know about Christ in the four walls of a church where the Word of God was preached without compromise and the Holy Spirit was invited without reservation. Ladies and gentlemen, let this be the gate of heaven and the house of God. When you come into this place, rest not on your laurels, but throw your hands up heavenward and say, this is the house of God. I met Jesus at a pool one day, but praise God, it's been in my regular attendance at the house of God that has put money in my bank and food on my table and health in my body and joy in my soul and life in my very spirit. And I want to praise God. And when I show up at the house of God, it's to praise Him, but it's also to get another load of His benefits and say, look what the Lord has done. But look what the Lord is about to do. He's going to do a new thing. It's not a miracle of the past. It's a miracle of yesterday, today, and forever. What a God we serve! It was true 2,000 years ago that Jesus made an appointment with a man at the church. And it's true today 2,000 years later. The second thing that Jesus warned him, he said, miracles are not necessarily forever. He said, if you don't develop a miracle life, some worse thing can happen to you. It does not maintain a miraculous lifestyle if you are not a regular attendee in the presence of the living God. Many years ago, you've heard me tell the story because it was so astonishing. When I was preaching in the building next door, a woman walked the aisle in the middle of my sermon with the help of someone and a white cane and sunglasses because she was 100% totally blind. She stopped me mid-sermon and said, sir, I want to be baptized. We baptized her in water. She came up out of that water from total darkness and total blindness. She had immediate 20/20 vision. It was an amazing miracle. I sent people to her house regularly. She never, ever gave her life to Christ. She never, ever came back to the church. She lived a life totally foreign from the things of God. And as Jesus said, some worse thing came upon her. Simply because she experienced one amazing miracle was not enough to sustain her life. I don't know what your testimony is about, but if it's 20 years ago and it's done, that's not the will of God. You need to have a testimony that's as old as you are, but you need to have a testimony that's as fresh as this morning, that God was with me when I got up. He broke me up this morning, and He started me on my way. The Bible teaches us that Jesus had a custom. The Bible said that Jesus had that custom in Luke 4:16. He came to Nazareth, He being Jesus, where He had been brought up. In other words, His home church. And His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, if it was Jesus' custom to go to His home church on a regular basis, how do we think that we can do any less? I've always wondered about those people that refused to be baptized when Jesus required of Himself baptism. Friend, we need to link ourselves to the pattern of Jesus Christ. Jesus not only healed that man at the pool when He met him at church, He imposed His custom on him, and that is, you go to church. That's where I'm going to meet you. Jesus' customs are supernaturally life-changing, and so I don't shrink from what the world would call bondage. I say, Jesus, please impose your custom on me. Whatever you did, I want to do, because I don't want one miracle when I'm in the hospital and that's the last miracle I ever have. I want a miracle that got me out of that hospital when they said I couldn't live and then I couldn't walk. Oh, what miracles those were. But the truth is, what I really focus on is that every day of my life, He never leaves me and He never forsakes me. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not only the Savior of my soul and the healer of my body, He is the sustainer of my spirit. And every day He walks with me and He talks with me. That's the reason why I enjoy the presence of God's people. That's the reason why the thrill of my life is greater than any horse sale. It's greater when I sold a horse for $50,000. Nothing compares to coming to God's house. And suddenly I know that Jesus is here. The same one that I met in the hospital room. The same one I've been in the college classroom. He is the same God that meets me here. And He identifies Him every day. You remember me, Steve? I am Jesus. So, yes, sir, you are. I'll never leave you because you have never left me. Two things. What do you walk away from? I walked away from the multitude. Second thing, what are you walking to? I'm walking into the destiny of Almighty God. And friend, I'm going to tell you, we as a family have learned what a miracle life is about. It's a lifestyle where He is your God every day. Every day, all day long. He's not just a song in the church. He's a song in the valley. He's a song in the trial. He's not just a prayer at the prayer meeting. He's a prayer behind the steering wheel. He's a prayer in the elevator. He's a prayer on your job. Friend, we are not living for one miracle. We live a miracle life, and we praise God for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is saying right now, your daily routine decides whether you're going to have a miracle moment, and most people do, but very few people have a miracle life. Thank God He is my banker. He is my lawyer. He is my physician. He is my counselor. He is my way maker. He is the one that I link arms with and walk in synchronization every day. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see Him face to face. We're going through hell on earth in America right now. But friend, it makes my experience with God sweeter than it's ever been. He has now made me feel like I am a Hebrew child in a fiery furnace, and He's there. He's made me feel like I'm a Daniel in a lion's den, and He is there. He's made me feel like I'm going through a wilderness, but He is the rock that is following me. Oh, what a God we serve. I rejoice in the God of my salvation, and I'm living a miracle life. Would you stand on your feet, put your hands up, and begin to give God some praise in this auditorium today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm no longer surprised when suddenly I feel a pain, and I say in Jesus' name, and that pain is gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm 70 years of age. I refuse to live like my 70-year-old peers. I'm not going to walk around old and decrepit. I'm not going to spend my last days in a nursing home. I'm going to call on the Lord God of my salvation because I have a life of miracles, and He is not going to leave me now. He sustained me and saved me as a boy, but praise God, He is the God of my last trimester on this earth. And I'm not surprised when God comes through for me. I'm not surprised, Glory, when I have a financial need and suddenly and miraculously the money appears. Praise God. I'm not surprised when the doctor said, well, I thought you had this problem, but you don't have that problem. I'm not surprised at all. I'm living a miracle life. My question to you today, are you living a miracle moment or a miracle life? Every day of your life, you need to get a handful of His glory. You need to get a fistful of His joy. You need to get an armload of His benefits and say, look what the Lord has done. But look what the Lord is doing. And He's doing it right now in July of 2020. I said, God's in this house right now. Somebody ought to get out of their pew and get healed. Somebody ought to get out of their pew and get saved. Somebody ought to get out of their pew and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to be delivered from being bipolar. Let me say that again. Somebody in this building right now that's bipolar, God wants to heal you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody watching me by television that's got cancer, I tell you, the man that was at the pool, that was at the church, is at Living Way in 2020 in July. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He is the God of the universe. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now. Friend, I just refuse to carry my cares. I've learned to cast my cares on Him. I refuse to lean on my own understanding. I'm not that smart. I appeal to Him. I say, Mr. Banker, I'm out of money. And He comes through. I say, Dr. Jesus, I got a pain. And He comes through. I'm living a life of miracles. And God's no respecter of persons. And you can live that miracle life yourself. Wherever you are, kneeling in your home, lift up your hands right there where you're watching. In this building, walk out of your pew down here and say, I want that kind of a life. I want a life where God takes care of me.